your host, Ishmael Johnson, the college editor here at Dave Campbell's Texas Football, alongside Carter Yates. How you doing, man?
It's the best time of the sports calendar year, NFL draft. We don't need to talk about the NBA playoffs.
I was about to say April. Like, I was about to say the opposite of that. Of course, in the studio as well is Mallory Hartley, everyone's favorite Mal Pal. How are you, Mallory?
Hey, good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Everybody can hear each other this time. So.
Exactly. Yeah, so a little bit behind the scenes. If you saw our first episode, which was two weeks ago, the first episode we were all here together, Mallory could not hear Carter, and Carter could not hear Mallory. And so...
and I could not hear Matt.
And also, Carter could not hear Matt Wilson, our guest. So, first of all, credit to Mallory, because she coordinated that very well. And she basically said, hey, you're going to have to be a pretty good host and help Carter transition, and I will try to make things happen behind the scenes so that it makes it look like a completely seamless broadcast, which
and
it ended up
did
doing.
It. So we and did it. If you look at your two new headphones that you're wearing on your pretty little faces, those are new too, so
those
you can absolutely 100% hear me very clearly. So don't act like you can't hear me anymore, okay?
Yeah.
There's no excuse
that
this
trick
time.
Doesn't work anymore.
That trick doesn't work anymore because you guys can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I bought those headphones.
Yeah, so there you go. Thank you, Mallory, for continuing to upgrade us. We got the new studio. We're still upping the game every single week. So, of course, this is Republic Football, our college football podcast here at Dave Campbell's. We are, as Carter mentioned, it is the best time of year. April.
Yes.
Which is what the NFL wants us to say. It's the best time of year. The time to be thinking about football in April, which means the NFL draft is coming up on Thursday. First round, of course, second, third on Friday, and then the rest of it on Saturday. They've just made a whole spectacle of that weekend. So we'll be doing our little own NFL news NFL draft dump / preview kind of things to look forward to. By the way, if you are curious about some content, right, Carter's dropping a feature on Tyrus Knight tomorrow for UTEP. Mm-hmm. He already dropped a feature on, I know this is sacrilege to say, but Oklahoma tackle Tyler Guyton.
Texas guy by heart.
He is by way of Manor, Texas. Did not play football until his senior year of high school. Now potentially a first-round pick. Of course, Mike Craven has a feature over Adonai Mitchell from Texas and kind of how the birth of his daughter kind of changed things for him. Potential
really
first
good
round
piece.
Pick. Yeah, really, really, really good piece. So, again, Corey Hogue as well. Of course, if you want a FCS breakdown, somebody like a Jalix Hunt for Houston Christian is going to be called this weekend in terms of some of the picks. So we have you covered, right, from high school through the draft. You can kind of expect that kind of coverage on TexasFootball.com. So subscribe as well, but also go check out those pieces if you haven't yet. All right, but first, we do have some news and notes. The portal is open. A bunch of spring games are finally wrapped up. They're good. Arch Manning won the Super Bowl, apparently.
Where does Arch Manning's spring game rank among the all-time spring games at Texas?
It ranks next to Malik Murphy's last year, where everybody said he was awesome.
Like, I don't know. I think Arch might have been better.
Arch was better. Don't get me wrong. It helped that, you know, the wide receivers are really good. Like, I'm not saying Arch isn't good and Arch did not impress, but it also helps, like, yeah, man, he's Jonte Cook's like their fourth guy.
Well, it also helps that the defensive backs were tripped up by ghosts, too.
That is very true. They, by the way, speaking of backs, that kind of gets into our next story.
One of those guys that got tripped up by a ghost is no longer with us.
Somebody saw the film, and it wasn't, it was probably Steve Sarkisian, was like, probably move on from his. Terrence Brooks is in the portal for Texas, starting a corner last year. So on paper, yes, you lose a starter in April, it's probably bad. Texas's secondary wasn't exactly, outside of Malik Muhammad, Texas secondary last year wasn't exactly full of guys who you like, we need to hold on to every single one and we are set there for the future. Mm-hmm. Malik Muhammad is the golden cow for that room right now. And they brought in Clemson, I'm forgetting.
Andrew Makuba
as well from Clemson for safety. But they probably still could upgrade, right? They lose Ryan Watts, who was up and down, but still that's somebody you would like to probably hold over. And so Terrence Brooks enters the portal. I don't know, what were your first thoughts? I think it's like, it's a nice to have, but not a need to have.
My first thought, so Anwar Richardson reported that this was a Texas decision here, so they kind of had a conversation after the spring football game, and we're starting to see this more in
the He just turned around the game tape. He's like, excuse me?
He said, so we're going to need you to hop in the portal. We're starting to see this more in this era of college football with the transfer portal opening in the spring, and I get it, but my thing is, who's the guy that steps up for Terrence Brooks? Because Malik Muhammad is the golden calf, but is it Gavin Holmes? That's the other cornerback they have on the roster. And Texas was 113th in the nation last year in passing defense. Westcott Eberts at Burn Orange Nation had a great stat, though, because that 113th in the nation is a little misleading. He said of the 3,500 passing yards and 21 passing touchdowns allowed, 2,719 touchdowns came while Texas had the lead. So it's basically teams having to throw to play from behind.
Sure, sure.
Either way, not the best numbers that you wanted. But what this led me to believe was, does Texas have an upgrade in mind? And then I saw someone from UTSA, Denver Harris, tweet.
That was like the most, again, if it meant nothing, it was like the most ill-timed or like the most unnecessarily timed
tweet. Yeah.
That was intentional.
Oh, and it was definitely intentional. But it was very much like, why did you do that? Unless you're actually thinking about it.
Yeah.
So yes, Denver Harris, who of course is at UTSA now, former A&M and LSU player, former five-star.
Who we've gassed up on this show.
Oh yeah.
If
he stays in San Antonio, he's going to probably be all conference AAC. He tweeted out on Twitter, and we're just like, are we doing this?
It would be the most perfect transfer portal story if that happened.
He just like flirts with the G5. He's like, never mind, I'm going back.
Because my first thought was I could see Steve Sarkisian in an August preseason media availability being like, Denver Harris, you know, has really matured. I think he's done a great job to change his mental makeup. In the 2 weeks I've known him, it's like Jeff Chandler's running summer camp.
Yeah, exactly. He had a great couple months at a really good facility, and now we're back here, and now he's ready to play some football. I think it is. They have somebody in mind, right? Whether it's him, whether it's somebody else in the portal right now, I think it's pretty clear that you don't get somebody out like a veteran like that unless you have a really good option. The other one that was, I don't think too surprising either, but just kind of this one kind of bummed me out. Bryce Foster. Also in the portal. The Mountain, A&M's former starting center, and of course, former five-star here, Dave Campbell's. He was incredible for that Katie Taylor team. Yeah, like, injury, right? Changing offensive line coaches, like, every year. It just never really worked out for him. He had a great freshman year. And then
first team all-SEC freshman team.
Yeah, first team all-freshman team, and, like, it just never clicked for him, I think, the way that, I think A&M fans, us too, obviously, who saw him in high school and knew what he was capable of, we were kind of hoping and kind of, you know, the build was there, right? He's a track star, right? And so, like, everything was there for, like, things to translate. And, in, like I said, injuries and inconsistency with his development staff, I think just, hampered a really promising career. I'm hoping he lands somewhere that he can kind of at least scrap something together to potentially try for the next level.
I was going to say, do you think he's going to stay in state? Do you think he wants to stay
honestly,
in state?
Honestly, I have no idea. I have no idea.
I have no read.
Yeah, I was about to say, I have no read either. He's from Houston, so, like, I mean, they could use linemen, right? Houston could use linemen.
That actually
would be a good fit
for
him.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Right, they could use linemen. I think he is, he hasn't reached the heights, but he is a Power 5 player.
He's got the talent.
He's not somebody that needs to go to the AAC, the Sun Belt, or something like that. So I would say that,
Exactly.
Yes. And he seems like, I don't know.
I hope he's listening.
Ran to him a couple times. listen to us. I've talked to him a couple times and I've seen interviews. He's a real humble kid, loves his family, right? All that stuff. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just wants to get closer to home. A&M's not far, but you know what I mean.
I think the writing on the wall was when A&M got the Utah transfer in Koli Fahu. And I don't know if I pronounced that right. I'm looking for a phonetic pronunciation of that anywhere, but Utah does not have one.
SIDs. Get on that. Not that you don't do enough work on
it. We respect SIDs. But I think the writing was on the wall when they portaled him right before the spring game.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I think Bryce Foster just needs a change of scenery. There was times last year we watched him. He was really struggling. He was kind of struggling to snap the ball at certain points last year.
That's a good point. They had bad center issues last year. So
hoping for the best, hoping for a Houston Cougar. Bryce Foster, you are a Houston Cougar.
I really am down for that. I think, like you mentioned, new change of scenery, somebody, which ironically, you know, he's be going to another staff and another development coach, whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, just get some place where he can kind of get reps under and where he isn't having to go up against Georgia defensive linemen every week. So
It's the Squidward meme where he's up in the Krusty Krab and he's like, Cougar.
Yeah, exactly. That should be Willie Fritz right now.
Yeah, literally.
So I think that's off the major portal news. There's obviously players are entering the portal, but those are kind of the two headliners right now. I don't know when it closes. Is it May?
Not soon enough.
I was just about to say, yes. It feels like it's been open for 8 years.
We're still working on the, a little bit behind the scenes. We're still working on the magazine, so like we had to push back a lot of our college deadlines because like we don't know who's going to be officially on the roster yet. So we're still holding our, you know, crossing our fingers. We'll see. Obviously, we have to change things with the Texas depth chart a little bit, but that's always the interesting part with this this time of year is because we're working. We look up and it's like, oh, somebody, okay, let me go back and change something real quick. So anyway. All right, so that'll do it for just quick news and notes. Like I mentioned, we have the NFL draft coming up Thursday. Carter will be having one more feature on Tyrus Knight from UTEP dropping, and we'll get into our discussion on that in a little bit and kind of the our thoughts overall about Texas prospects going into the draft. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Homefieldapparel.com, you can use promo code DCTF to get 15% off your first time purchase. There's also an affiliate link if you've already used your first time purchase. There's also an affiliate link if you go to DCTFCFB on Twitter. There's an affiliate link in there, in our bio. Click on that. Anything you buy will be given, sending things back to us as far as a percentage of the sale. So again, if you want to support the show, if you want to support any of the shows on the Republic of Football Network, they all have their own affiliate codes. You can follow them on Twitter, each individual show on Twitter. They have it in their bio as well. I'd mentioned last time that they had the national title, the national championship gear for all the basketball schools. They're starting to get really timely with their national championship drops. Like as soon as I referenced Sports Illustrated, I remember when you used to win a title.
The first commercial was Sports Illustrated.
Is Sports Illustrated dropping the commemorative magazine, the book, the whatever you need, right? And so Home Field's kind of doing that with a lot of their merch. And I think it looked really good from UConn to South Carolina in the women's basketball game. So they have tons of stuff. I mean, again, one of my favorite things is their Lamar hoodie, right? The fact that they have genuinely really good Lamar merch is something that's not a given. North Texas, that Super Pit sweater is actually like really, really sick.
Yeah, it rocks.
I love that. That's going to be one of my next purchases as well. I need some SMU stuff too. My goal is to get something from every school they have, Texas. Mm-hmm. And so I'm almost there. UTEP and SMU are kind of next on my list. All right. All righty. And also, by the way, I should mention, if you've been a follower of this show before I hosted, before Mallory was here, we've had one consistent sponsor since the very beginning.
Honda!
North Texas Honda Dealers. I just want to say shout out to them if you've heard the intro, right? My intro, or I mean, Shahan's intro, David Ubbin's intro, right? Literally everybody who's hosted this show has had the same read and had the same intro in the beginning. So we want to send a big thank you to North Texas Honda Dealers. They're here to help. Please, we just want to thank you guys for being a sponsor since day one of the Republic.
They make great cars, too.
They really do. Honda is one of the reliable ones.
I said it last week on the show. My mom had a Honda for 13 years in the van.
Durable.
Nice.
Man, those things are durable.
There you go. All right, Mallory, let's get into our draft talk. All right, so we're going to break this up into kind of a segment discussions. One's kind of starting things off with kind of more centered around Thursday, the first round. But that one's kind of limited, right? We kind of know the players who are around there. But then we're going to open it into players we think are kind of sleepers. These are all Texas players, right? We're using our expertise on Texas colleges. Sleepers that we aren't getting talked about enough. The best potential fit as far as player to a NFL team. And then also the player we think will be the best player from this draft in the NFL. We come back in 5 years and we look back and say, this guy was the best. We're going to call our shot. Mm-hmm. We're going to call our shot right now. So, go ahead, Mallory.
I was just going to say, so y'all obviously, are you going to watch all seven rounds of the draft? How do y'all go about watching the NFL draft?
Yeah, I'm going to watch all seven rounds.
Carter's locked in.
Not even going to, there's your answer. Let's move on.
Carter's going to be that locked in
let's move on.
TikTok.
He's going to be tweeting.
Loaded up, watching the draft, ready for all seven
round
rounds.
Round seven, baby, let's go. Everyone's going to be like, no.
So I've literally had the same routine since I was 8 years old when they used to have it on the same day. Pay attention to the first round, right? More or less, like I'm, you know, it's I have it on and I'm really attentive. I hate that the broadcast, you'll see like the pick is in and then like 10 minutes pass and then
it's I don't like that
they
either.
They need to fix that.
They know how to make a TV show, I'll say that much. So I'll pay attention to the first round. Second round, I'm like still watching, right? I'm like, okay, I really am curious because a lot of really good names are there. Third round, I start to really kind of find something else to do, but I have it on. And then the fourth and seventh round, I will track it on Twitter. I have alerts on my phone, or I will have it on in the background doing something else, right? But I am like interested.
Locked in.
Right, I'm interested.
Not locked
like,
in. You're...
You'll... Yeah, I'm locked in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
And then, like, after
you
that,
have the
I do
key
have
in the
on.
Lock, but the...
Yeah, exactly.
It hasn't turned all the way
yet. I'm to close the door a little bit.
You're starting to unlock it at that point. Yeah,
exactly. So, so I am curious. Like, I'm genuinely curious where Jalex Hunt's going to go, right? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about him in a bit. But, so that's how I watch it. That's how, I remember playing video games when the sixth round was going on. And I was like, oh, so-and-so, you know, Cliff Kingsbury just got drafted. Uh-huh. That's awesome, you know? So, I've had the same routine. I just hit my mic. I'm sorry. I'm still getting used to wearing a mic. So yeah, that's how I've watched it since I've been a little kid.
I like it. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I feel like I'm locked into the first two rounds, especially if, you know, there's a Michigan State player that I'm really locked into. I like to watch to see where they all go. But kind of the same way, like I'll keep up with it past the first and second round, but definitely first round I'm locked in. Because I just in general, you recognize all those names. You've watched these players go through, you know, all these different colleges, especially if there's a bunch of Texas players that we think are going to do well. So yeah, same thing. I'm locked into first and probably second round, but then beyond that, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, push notifications. We'll see if there's a Texas player that goes and, oh, interesting. But yeah, definitely just first and second. Really.
Carter wears a jersey. Watching.
Yeah, I wear my Cowboys jersey while I watch the sixth round. But I tell you what, we got some intriguing guys from Texas colleges that'll be going on day three that I think could play a long time in the NFL.
I was about to say, this is going to be one of the more locked in I think I've been for the later rounds, for at least through the fifth-ish round. Because that's about Jalex Hunt range around there. But like, we'll get into it now. Let's start up top, actually. Let's go
Thursday. Who are you going to watch for Thursday?
Yeah, like, I mean, the obvious name is Byron Murphy, right?
Mm-hmm. He's going to go first.
He's very likely, that I'd pencil it like 80%, that he is the first Texas player drafted. Defensive tackle from Texas, of course. The only reason he didn't probably stand out. I mean, I do appreciate that he's standing out more because Tavondre Sutt won a lot of the accolades.
Yeah.
And so, but then when they get to the testing and all that, they're like, okay, this guy is kind of probably a big reason why Tavondre Sutt was able to do a lot.
Allow me to officially retract my best NFL draft prospects that I wrote in February because I put Tavondre Sutt over Byron Murphy. This was before the offseason and the combine where Tavondre Sutt was like, if I sit for a week, I gain 30 pounds.
Right,
so
yes.
Byron Murphy had a better offseason, I would say. I did see, however, on a mock draft pick that Dane Brugler with The Athletic had the Cincinnati Bengals getting T. Sweat and Byron Murphy.
They need help
just
on that.
Running it back with Texas defensive linemen.
Yeah,
they need it. They need help bad.
I'm going to be curious. I mean, I know we're still on Byron Murphy, but I am curious, like, do people think the arrest, how far does the arrest take Tavondre Sutt? You know, because, like, I don't think it's something that would be too bad, but, like, that combined with, like, his, like, you know, his issue staying in shape and things. Is that like, are those like yellow flags that turn into a red flag?
I think it's exactly what it is. If he had Byron Murphy's offseason, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but he was already not having a great offseason.
Right.
And it's kind of just exacerbating the concerns people already had about him. And I was listening to a podcast the other day, Todd McShay was on, and he was talking about how after the NFL Combine and Pro Days, like this is the time where guys start to mess up. This is the time where scouts really start to lock in their players because they have so much free time.
Right.
For the first time in their college careers, really. So I don't know if Tavondre Sutt handled that.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So, yeah, he's going to be – Byron Murphy, I mean, is going to be likely the first player taken. The other players who are kind of around there, which I think makes for a very interesting later round, right? A.D. Mitchell from Texas. Mm-hmm. I think Xavier Worthy's kind of worked – with that 40 time, I think he's worked his way into that fringe area. I think he'll still be second round, but – we've seen teams trade up just for speed, right?
Do we want to have the talk of who's going to go first, A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy?
I think it's A.D. Mitchell.
I think it's probably A.D. Mitchell. Does John Ross running the 4.22 and then flaming out so hard actually hurt Xavier Worthy?
I mean, you can go back to Darius Hayward-Bey.
That's true.
You can go, like, the guys that light up the 40 at receiver don't always translate. So
yeah.
I think – I don't know if it hurts him, but I think it does stop teams from, like, trading up. You know, like, I don't know if teams are going to – 10 years ago, I think somebody trades up to get him, in my opinion.
Okay.
Now I don't see that this year.
But who's going to be the better pro prospect, do you think, AD or Xavier Worthy?
I think it's Worthy. I mean, sorry, I think it's AD.
That's where I'm going to differ from you. I think it's Worthy.
Okay. Interesting. Mallory, you want to be a tiebreaker? we'll talk about it, but I'm also curious about your opinion.
Red or blue? I don't know. Xavier Worthy? I just think they're so similar, you know? And, I mean – I think Xavier Worthy, but
here's my defense. Carter. I think Mitchell will land at a better team,
okay,
and will set him up better.
Yes.
Because I have my fit, which we can get to later, but I think there's one team that is in A.D. Mitchell range that needs an A.D. Mitchell that will have nothing to do with how good or bad Mitchell and Worthy are, but who he'll potentially play with. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I could see Xavier Worthy going to the Raiders or something.
Right, right. It's like, oh, okay.
Just get screwed.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. It's like, he's probably great. It's like, we won't get to see right away.
But I think Xavier Worthy... He is a very good deep threat, and I think some of that got masked the last 2 years at Texas because he and Quinn Ewers did not connect very well in those deep balls, but a lot of them, he doesn't have a shot to even catch them.
They're
just eight yards overthrown. You go back and watch his freshman year when he's playing with Casey Thompson, Hudson Card, he was the best receiver on the field at all times. I think he was kind of underappreciated at Texas.
I think it did get to a point because, yes, I do think it was – when Ewers first got there, we were like, okay, that's weird, but they'll work on it, right? And then it just never kind of clicked. But then you saw Ewers, maybe it was just something between those two, right? Because we saw Ewers connect with A.D. Mitchell. We saw Ewers connect with J.T. Sanders. And like you mentioned, we saw Worthy connect with other quarterbacks. So maybe it was just something with them two. Maybe it was the way that the system was ran as well with Ewers, right? Because as we saw, like, Sark has not the type of coach to go guns blazing, right? He loves like a very methodical approach with like the run game and like things over the middle, but that's not going to get the best out of Worthy. Also, sometimes Worthy's the guy clearing out a lot of that stuff, right? So it's like he goes over the top, cool, take the safety with you, JT Sanders out route, right? So I do wonder if it was like kind of a masking of like what he really could do, as opposed to like if Sark was, say, at Alabama, where they were kind of like doing all that, if he turns into more of a Devontae Smith type of like just like game breaker type. So
I think A.D. Mitchell had the wow plays. Like, I think back to the TCU
game. He attacks the ball insanely well.
I think back to the TCU game where he literally bends horizontally backwards and catches the ball in midair, or the college football playoff where he double clutches.
He double clutches.
But he wasn't as consistent as Worthy.
Sure, I can agree with that. So as far as the Texas names, I think those are the three to watch.
Also, something on Byron Murphy. I saw a Greg Riddle Dallas Morning News story. Do you know Byron Murphy was a running back before junior year of high school?
That's terrifying.
That is
I actually did see that same article. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
And Claude Mathis, the DeSoto coach, was the one who moved Murphy from linebacker to defensive line when he took over in junior year.
There you go.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Is history.
So other names to potentially watch, again, in the first round, maybe a Patrick Paul, but because this is kind of a, this is a really good tackle class. Like, I do think, from what I've kept track of, there's like two or three left tackles. And then there's like eight right tackles. And so like a guy like a Tyler Guyton we mentioned from Maynard, he's somebody who's like a right tackle, but like still teams need a tackle. And so,
but I think Tyler Guyton also was right tackle because Dylan Gabriel was left-handed.
I'm not saying that he can't play left tackle, but I'm saying like he would primarily probably be used at least immediately as a right tackle. Somebody like a Patrick Paul, I think could be a left tackle, but probably right when he goes to the NFL, probably throw him at right. So that's the, Patrick Paul's one of the other guys who's going to be maybe in that range, maybe not. Again, maybe we'll, in a different year, maybe he is more of a consistent first rounder. But I think we were kind of in consensus that there's probably three names to watch. Really one with maybe two as far as the first round's concerned. Okay, let's get into some of our little more saucy takes now.
Here we go. Let's get the takes firing. We're either going to call our shot or get old takes exposed.
Listen, you got Tavondre Sweat in one of your draft articles.
So. Look, as we know, I'm not afraid. I'm gonna call my shot.
All right, let's go with sleepers. Who do we have as your sleeper? Carter, start with you.
I do not understand why more media attention is not being given to Luke McCaffrey, the Rice wide receiver.
Because right there, he went to Rice.
But he's
because
he went to Rice. Yeah. But he went to Rice.
His last name is McCaffrey, but he went to Rice.
But he went to Rice.
But if you watch the film, he is cooking dudes.
He is.
In the American Athletic Conference. He was the Rice wide receiver last year. The next guy had like 300 yards. He had 1,000, basically. And the one concern I had about Luke McCaffrey was, is the top end speed there? He runs faster than his brother Christian McCaffrey did at the NFL Combine.
I was about to say, he had a 4.46 40,
I wondered, does he have to change direction? I know he can catch in traffic, but can he change direction? He runs a 4.02 second short shuttle, which was the fastest among the wide receiver group. And Matt Barrows of The Athletic had a very interesting piece about Luke McCaffrey where he's been working out with Anquan Boldin, who was a former college quarterback, turned wide receiver. And the thing that Anquan Boldin said about McCaffrey is he's just so hungry to learn and so hungry to work on his craft. And when I interviewed Luke McCaffrey for a feature story last fall, that's the exact same mindset I got from him. And I think that's really admirable for a guy who comes from an NFL Pro Bowl, Super Bowl wide receiver father.
Right.
Christian McCaffrey is his brother, and this guy has no ego about him and wants to keep learning and gets excited about improving and getting told what he does wrong.
Yeah. It's often, and Mallory, we've done this a couple years now, like I often like try to balance like how much I know about these guys versus like, okay, I gotta like separate myself from how I feel about them versus like how I think they'll do in the NFL.
Right. Yeah.
Luke McCaffrey is one of those guys where I've had to like, he is that good, right? Like I'm having to remind myself saying like, it's not just the fact that we know that he's a 1,000-yard receiver for Rice who didn't have other receiving options. Like, he is actually that good. And it's like, no, yeah, he is. Like, you just mentioned a lot of his measurables. And everything about him, like, we use that for scouting as far as high school. We look at pedigree, right? We look at genetics, right? It's his family. It's his environment he was raised in. It's the fact that he was a quarterback until 2-3 years ago. And it's like, all these things trend towards, yeah, there's a good chance he's going to work out, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm not saying
that he's not going to get drafted.
Right.
I'm just saying there's a reason why people aren't talking about him the way that maybe we think he should be talking
right.
about him. And that's because he went to Rice.
They look at Rice and they're like, oh, that's fine.
Right.
Cool. Yeah.
Exactly.
Neat, And
right.
So,
right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with both your points. Like, I'm very excited to see where he could land because I think that now he isn't pigeonholed into, where Byron Murphy is, we're playing for a potentially bad team or something
right.
like that. He could land somewhere like a Miami, a San Francisco, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, they know how to use these receivers, they know how to develop, so.
Over this draft prep, I've gone from Luke McCaffrey was a great college player to yeah. he's gonna get picked up by the San Francisco 49ers in the fourth round and I'm getting him on my fantasy team.
Right,
because
right.
It's gonna be a Brock Purdy situation, probably.
Yes.
He's gonna fall like the fifth round, whatever, and he's going to be like, oh, okay,
a star.
Cool, yeah. Uh-huh. All right, so my sleeper is, I don't know if it's a sleeper, but somebody who, like...
I think it's a sleeper.
It probably is. If I would have said this was a sleeper last year, it would have not made sense. It's Josh Newton from TCU. Mm-hmm. I think he's somebody who everybody saw how the Travis Hunter game went, right, in the first game of the season, mm-hmm. and they're like, cool, we're done. If he's not an NFL prospect, or like mm-hmm. he's getting guys, Travis Hunter probably is going to be like the first overall pick next year. it's okay.
He can play it.
It's okay that he couldn't defend like a potentially generational athlete. That was awesome. And also, let's not say not defend. Travis Hunter had three. Again, I'm not saying he did not cook him a little bit. To say he couldn't defend him, he had three really good highlight catches, right? So it's not like it was open every single play and it was like, oh, it's a complete mismatch. It's like, man, who's covering that, right? Who are covering some of those plays against him?
It was like Apollo Creed fighting Ivan Drago for the first time.
Right.
It's like, no one knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, it's like he's dead. Nobody knew he's going to kill him. it's fine. But getting back on it, like this time last year, we all looked at him as the best cornerback in the state, uh-huh. right? We all looked at him as a surefire, and he's going to get drafted. But his stock has fallen a little bit. The one thing that I do wonder, and I think Dane Brugler mentioned this as well, is, yes, he does not have the prototypical size of a modern NFL corner, right? A lot of those guys are what I like to call the Richard Sherman molds, right? The 6'3", 205-plus pound guys. He's not that, right? Which, again, could lend itself to happen for what Travis Hunter did, for those things to happen. What I will say is, he's somebody who was a two-star prospect in high school, right? Developed, purely developed, and has just learned and become kind of this, it's like kind of the last of like how the guys that TCU used to get all the time under Gary Patterson, mm-hmm. right? He's kind of one of the last ones of those, of that ilk. So I don't know. I think that he is somebody who, if that game did not get national attention, mm-hmm. I think he's looked at a little bit better. I think around fourth, fifth round is probably where he'll be. I think he's a day two pick if that game doesn't happen and everybody doesn't sour on him immediately.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Totally agree. All right, Mallory.
What you got?
I have two.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I like it.
So we'll stay in state for now.
Okay.
And I don't even know if this is really considered an under-the-radar type of pick. Definitely not going to go in the first round because mm-hmm. of the position that he plays, and that's Jonathan Brooks, Texas mm-hmm. running back.
Yeah.
As you know, running backs, that's just not a valuable position. I don't want to say not valuable. It's not as valuable as a position
it's
anymore
in the
NFL anymore.
Yeah.
Right. It's a hard position to play. It's a hard position to stay healthy in, especially in the NFL. So that's why I picked Jonathan Brooks. I mean, he's an athlete. He's got great size, 6 foot I think he's up to 215 now, so he's probably the ideal type size for a running back in the NFL. He's probably going to be a second rounder, but I think he's probably the best running back out of his class in the NFL.
Well, you know why it's a sleeper is because if he didn't get hurt and he played the college football playoff, he would be a first rounder.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I think so. I think because of you remember, which again, a lot of people forget because of how Texas lost him and still made the playoff, right?
Right.
So it was
like,
oh, how good, there probably was a how good is he discussion. But to your point, he follows Bijan Robinson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texas does not miss Bijan Robinson when he's healthy.
Mm-mm.
Their running game, it found its way late, but it did miss him, right? It had CJ Baxter, it had Jadon Blue, but like, Jonathan Brooks was number one before all those guys.
The reason they lost the Washington game is because they couldn't run the football.
They couldn't run the football consistently. And I think that injury, it's a combination of the injury, yes. But also, like, I do wonder, like, is he in the – Taj Brooks had a great year, obviously. Ollie Gordon did too. But, like, is he more in that Doak Walker award conversation if he finishes the year? Right.
Right.
With the pace he was on.
I think definitely.
Yeah. And then also, I think it's also different. Like, again, people – Bijan just went in the first round 2 years ago, so it's like, oh, Texas can't have another first round running. So I feel, I don't know if there was any of that conventional wisdom going on or what, but I agree wholeheartedly.
He had an amazing year, but it almost felt like he did it quietly.
Yeah.
Where Bijan Robinson had these runs where he broke eight tackles, and
that's
Jonathan Brooks had very good runs, but he didn't have the runs that you were like, is this dude an alien?
Right. Yeah.
Not saying he's not a great running back.
Yeah, he just had to follow Bijan Robinson, which
very true.
Kind of stinks.
Yeah, I mean, averaging 6 yards a carry, over 1,000 yards, like you mentioned. In that,
he's a solid back.
Yeah,
solid
now,
back.
Now, I think the Dallas Cowboys right now is what everyone thinks he's going to go to,
right.
But we're going to talk about
I like that. Well, because Tony Pollard's gone now, too.
Tony Pollard, and they didn't I mean, all the free agent running backs are gone, too, so like there is like a need for that type
it's,
of
Rico Dowdle and Royce.
And Deuce Vaughn right now.
And Deuce
Vaughn.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's room for a running back in that room.
We're going to talk about best fit. I saw honorable mention for worst fit, and that's Jonathan Brooks for the Carolina Panthers.
Which is also a mock that I'm seeing as well.
That would be gross.
They have the first pick in the third round, which that's starting to get to that. I think he's a second. I think he's worth a second. But I can see him falling to the third, and Carolina would absolutely jump on that, in my opinion. which is a problem, because I do agree, that is a bad pick.
Please, for the love of God.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. Here's hoping, because, after this, I don't know if people were confused or, like, a little surprised that he declared after getting injured. But I'm glad that he did, because I think people are going to see how good he really is in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
All right. Next.
You didn't let me say my second one.
No, no, go ahead. You told us.
Which Michigan State player?
No. That's not what we're
out
talking
on, like,
about.
Every Michigan State player right now. Don't say that.
I don't think there's a single one in this.
I was about to say.
Did you see our record last year?
Yeah.
We went 4-8. No. So this player does not he did not play his last couple seasons in the state of Texas.
I know you're going to name him. Yes, keep going.
But he became a breakout star in the state of Texas, and that's Jacob Cowing.
Boom,
Arizona wide receiver, formerly UTEP wide receiver.
Yes.
I've been on the Jacob Cowing train since he was at UTEP, and I think both of you two were as well.
This predates me. This is you and Ish's
this
joint
is, this
right
actually
here.
I remember talking about him like in 2022 when you were like, dude, this guy's good. Or 2021, this guy's
21,
good.
21, yeah.
2021.
So it was he was stellar. Him and Justin Garrett for UTEP. 1,300, this is his UTEP stats. 1,300 yards before he transferred to Arizona, where he still had a 1,000-yard season.
1,000-yard season.
848 yards, which they had some quarterback issues this year. So, like, fluctuated. He still had 13 touchdowns last year. So, 27 touchdowns the last three
years. Yeah, him and Gavin Hardison cooked at UTEP.
That UTEP offense, again, let me take you back 2 years ago. When UTEP had their best season under Dana Dimmel, their offense was just run the ball for 3 yards a carry and then just chuck it deep.
Chuck it deep.
Go look at
Jacob
I always
Cowing.
Love to reference their stats because their average per pass was like up there with Army and Navy, who like again who only throw when it's like a trick, so it's always like 20, 30 yards. And so UTEP was right up there with him, and they did not run a triple option. They just ran a conventional offense. They just threw it deep so many times. So I love that Jacob Cowing pick because people cannot forget how good he was for UTEP and kind of making him, I mean, giving them that explosion that season.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I think that he's flying so under the radar because this wide receiver draft class is so talented.
It's
I mean,
so
we
deep.
Just talked about two of the best receivers from Texas.
Yeah.
They're going to go in the first round, too. But he's a great route runner. He's great at creating separation, and those are two skills that really, really translate at that next level. So I love that pick. He's probably my biggest sleeper pick, but I think he's going to be dominant in the NFL.
100%, especially because, like we mentioned, Gavin Hardison. We saw what Gavin Hardison was like when he didn't have him, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And then Arizona, when Arizona had QB issues, but the one thing they had was Jacob Cowing.
Yep.
And so, again, shout out to UTEP for putting us on first, because they were the first to see him. Scotty O'Hara, wide receiver coach, he was very big in development. We will not forget that era. All right, now let's transition to best potential fit. All right, I hinted at mine earlier, so I'm just going to go with it. Mine's A.D. Mitchell to the Chiefs, mm-hmm. plain and simple. They have the last pick in the first round. Obvious they need a number one wide receiver. I know they just won a Super Bowl without one technically, but that's kind of one of their last holes on the team. That is why I think that Mitchell could be a better pro than Worthy, because Mitchell, look at the teams in the range of that late first round. Jacksonville, give or take, but they have Trevor Lawrence. Again, there is a Vegas in there, so we'll see. It's kind of a little pitfall, but the Ravens, Niners won't need him, but the Chiefs as well. And so all of a sudden, you start looking at those teams, you're like, oh, yeah, like Mitchell could fall to one of those teams that just knows how to use a wide receiver. I think it's the best fit. Obviously, it helps have your quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, but also it helps if you have a wide receiver who attacks the ball like A.D. Mitchell does and kind of has that alpha mentality.
The best case scenario that we can have for a Texas podcast is Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell go to the Bills and Chiefs.
Oh, that'd be great. Or the Dolphins. I'll do the Dolphins, too.
And I would like the Dolphins. Can you imagine Xavier Worthy in the baby teal? How fast he'd look?
Devon A-Chain.
See, I want that a lot better, because can't you kind of imagine Xavier Worthy going to the Chiefs and being kind of the next Mecole Hardman?
That's my worry.
Where he becomes the new scapegoat a little bit.
If he doesn't get 1,000 yards receiving this year, it's like, oh, Worthy, bust.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. See, here, I'll go next, too, because I had Xavier Worthy going to Kansas City mm-hmm. as a best fit, and then I had A.D. Mitchell for the Bills.
I chose
Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs because he reminds me a lot of Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest guys, obviously made history in the NFL Combine with the fastest 40 time, but he reminds me a lot of Tyreek Hill, and since Tyreek Hill's been gone, I feel like that they've been looking for that next fastest guy, and that could be Xavier Worthy, but I think you can't go wrong with either receiver at this point.
It's scary to think about the Chiefs with either one. Right.
It's very scary.
I do like the Bills mentioning because they basically just sold everybody this offseason.
Uh-huh. Stephon Diggs, they need somebody.
So that is a team I did not consider potentially trading around, seeing if they can get somebody late in the first or early in the second. So that's actually a really good fit.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a less flashy position.
Okay.
And for my best fit, I'm going TCU guard tackle Brandon Coleman going to Houston, Texas.
That's a good one.
That's your boy. You did a good story on him early in the year.
Yeah, Brandon Coleman, a former select basketball player in Germany, translates that athleticism to TCU. What do you do when you find your franchise quarterback in CJ Stroud? You got to get guys to protect him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right now they have Laramie Tunsil, who is about to be 30 years old, coming off of surgery. The line last year was about 15th in the NFL in sacks allowed. A lot of that was masked by C.J. Stroud's mobility. The line was a little porous, and we saw that in the run game. I think Brandon Coleman would be a great fit in maybe the third, fourth round for the Houston Texans, because he can play both sides.
Sure.
He can fill in for Laramie Tunsil. He could also be a guard on the interior.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's what kind of makes him intriguing is that, yeah, if you think you can get 2, 3, 4 more years of production under Tunsil, I don't know how big his contract is, but you do got to start looking for that next guy. And a Coleman is a little bit more of a budgetary pickup. He's not going to hit you cap, he's not going to be a first round pick, so he's not going to hit your cap really well, or impact it a lot, I should say. But he's somebody who, as we saw this past year, I mean, people don't talk enough about the offensive line when TCU made the title game.
People don't talk enough about the TCU draft prospects because they had a tough season last year. Mm-hmm. And it's like all these darlings that played basically the same. The overall team was worse.
Yeah.
But all these guys played basically the same the next year.
When they played the national championship. Yeah, right.
And everyone's like, we're just not talking about them anymore.
Right. That's a good point, yeah. Because you got Newton and him, and then Mark Perry's another one as well. So, man.
Jared Wiley.
We'll get to that guy.
We'll get to that guy in a second. So, yes. That leads us to our last topic, mm-hmm. which is the one that we're just going to call our shot right now. The best player from this draft, from the state of Texas. And yes, my pick is that dude, Jared Wiley.
Tight end. That was mine, too.
Listen, I can't believe both of you have this
pick. I know.
Look, listen. It took, look, when he was a prospect, it was hard for me to see the translate. Right? I didn't follow him on the recruiting circuit, so I didn't see him in camps and all that. He was recruited as a tight end, even though he was a quarterback, right, at mm-hmm. Temple. So it was hard for me to see that translation.
At Texas,
he got hurt. So I was like, okay, that sucks. Former five-star, blah, 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 just didn't live up to the hype. This past year, TCU just, like, unlocked a new level.
He's a great blocker.
He is a tight end who is, like, if you put the silhouettes of him and Brock Bowers, like, you can't tell them apart, right? Obviously, Jared White is taller, but, like, Brock Bowers, like, you know, I get it, right? He's Brock Bowers' production levels off the charts as well. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you just put him in a silhouette, don't look at their stats, you're like, which one's the first-round pick? Right?
Right.
You really don't know. If he can stay healthy, and that is an if, because that is something that has that hampered his Texas career, that is something that is a reason why he could not really be the focal point of the entire offense his entire time at TCU. It's because of its injury. I think he's a star in the making. I think this past year was just a little taste. And if you look at the best tight ends in the NFL, they aren't always in the first round. Mm-hmm. They're in the second, third, fourth round
range.
You get the value, exactly. So I'm going Jared Wiley. I'm calling my shot. We're going to look back in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and be like, he went where? Fourth round?
Because tight ends, tight ends, that piece where you don't get like a top 10 tight end. You're a competitive team that then adds a tight end and becomes so much more dangerous because of it.
Right.
I'm going to go for my best pro is someone you don't get to just add to a competitive team. That's who you got to get in the early rounds, and that's Patrick Paul, Houston right tackle. He was three-time first-team all-conference. He was DCTF's best lineman last year, and by the way, he did that in the group of five and then in the Big 12 that last year. He had 2 sacks given up and 1,034 pass-blocking opportunities in the last 2 seasons. And he had the national best pass blocking grade among tackles, according to PFF, last year. And oh, by the way, cherry on top, his brother already plays in the NFL. Chris Paul, the other Chris Paul, on the Washington Commanders, offensive guard. He's got the NFL bloodline. He's got the production. He's got the size. I don't see how it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
He did an interview on Twitter. I don't know if you saw the interview. I think it was with, I can't remember who it was, with Stadium or somebody. But he said a lot of teams have way different draft boards than public mocks. He basically said, expect to see me late Thursday.
Okay, I like that.
Right, I like that.
He's like, either somebody has told him something, right? Or he's confident that like somebody's going to move up for him. Because this, like I mentioned, this is a really good tackle draft up top, but also very late. Teams like the Cowboys who need to get younger on the offensive line.
Now, if he really wanted to call a shot, he'd sit in the green room at the NFL draft.
I know, right? Yeah, he would just show up. He wasn't invited. He would just show up to the green room. But I'm just gonna park it right here, y'all. I'll see y'all in a bit. What were you going to say, Mallory?
I was just going to say, here's the tough thing to me about this question is that obviously you can be a great player, but if you're not picked up by the right team or put in the right system.
Yes.
It's tough.
It's to me, I always think of like, I think Mac Jones was a great quarterback at Alabama.
Sure.
I don't think the Patriots were necessarily the best fit for him.
He wasn't a day one starter.
No. And I think that obviously is leading to where he is now and kind of his stock falling a little bit. But that's what was so hard about this question. It's like, if these players don't go to the right team, or if they're not, you know, being utilized to their full potential, it's like, how can you tell who's going to be the best player until after the draft, right?
So let's redo this question next Wednesday.
Exactly.
That's what I'm getting at.
Let me get a mulligan next Wednesday when we all figure out exactly.
Yeah, literally.
Like, if Jared Wiley goes to the Saints, then we're redo.
right.
He's like, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo? Let me... not Jimmy Garoppolo. Carr. I think it was Derek Carr.
Derek Carr,
I was about to say, they're like the same brand of Jimmy Garoppolo, basically.
Literally.
We got Jimmy Garoppolo at home.
That's a great point, because like there are so many players here where we think we just mentioned our best fits, things like that, right?
Yeah.
A.J. Mitchell, Chiefs, which they're in range, but also they're one pick away from the Panthers, right?
Exactly.
He could easily be like, he could really be struggling, like, oh, my quarterback can't see over his center, so like, I can't get the ball, so that's going to be a problem. So, all right, so with that being said, that'll wrap up our NFL draft talk. NFL draft, again, starts Thursday, first round. And then, of course, I don't need to plug the NFL draft or anything, but you get how the schedule
works. If you don't know
where
to find the NFL draft.
You heard of the NFL, by the way.
What does that stand for?
National something. I don't know. But anyway.
National Flowers League.
That's on Sunday.
Where is the draft this year?
Detroit.
Know? Is it Detroit?
Detroit.
Okay. Nice.
Really? Because I was when I went up to see Michigan State basketball game 2 years ago, it was downtown Detroit was decked out for the 2024 NFL draft.
Wow.
So I've got pictures and videos of all of it. But yeah, it's in Detroit.
That's tough that it was in Nashville last year. If you waited to declare one more year and you go to Detroit now instead of
Detroit's cool. Go Lions,
man. By the
way,
you know where it is next year? This is going to be actually pretty funny.
No.
Albuquerque.
Close.
What?
Weirdly. Green Bay.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, it's in Green Bay.
Which,
again, historically, sure, makes sense, but also Green Bay is like a tourist spot is very funny to consider. But
yeah, anyway. It is.
So yeah, that'll do it for us. Again, we'll keep track on TexasFootball.com. We'll be having stories drop. We'll be recirculating some stories as well from players getting drafted of things that we've done on them in the fall. I mentioned Jalix Hunt. Corey did one earlier, last year during the season. I mentioned Carter's Tyrus Knight piece. Remember the A.D. Mitchell piece from Craven. And then, of course, Carter's Tyler Guyton piece as well. All up on TexasFootball.com. By the way, big shout out to Greg Powers, who has a lot of these guys ranked from when they were in high school. So again, that's another reason we'll be paying attention to
Greg Powers. This
except for Tyler Guyton. And if you read my story, you'll find out why.
Exactly. Hey, look, it was hard to find. Look, you can look on national rankings. They were like, oh. So anyway, please keep it locked, TexasFootball.com. All weekend we'll have your draft coverage, DCTF on Twitter, all that stuff as well. I'm actually making graphics right now, so we'll be having—
And they look sick.
Thank you. So we'll be having a bunch of coverage. Mike Elko, please come on the podcast. And of course, as you see, go Rutgers.
Go Rutgers, man. Thank you.